السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة، إن الله مع الصابرين. ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات، بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون. ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات، وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers, our sisters listening at the madrasa, and those listening over receivers, the 10th of Muharram comes every year, and you have been listening to the fazail and the virtues of the month of Muharram and the fasting of the day of Ashura from different speakers and different people over the years. Every year that the 10th of Muharram comes, we are reminded of certain incidents. This get together is for that purpose, to repeat, to refreshen our memories, that why do we celebrate or why do we observe the day of Ashura. I mentioned in my Jummah Bayan at Verulam that generally in this month of Muharram, as soon as the month enters, then we speak of three things in the first Jummah or in the first talk in the month of Muharram. Firstly, it is the calendar of the Muslims, that it begins with the Hijrah. It begins with the Hijrah, and it was decided in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when there was a need to have date put on the letters. Up till now they were following the traditional system where they used to say so many years after this incident or so many years after that incident. We know about Abraha coming with his army, trying to destroy the Kaaba Sharif. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala destroyed him and his army, and all those huge elephants also that he came with. Allah Ta'ala discusses the whole incident in Suratul Fil. Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil. So now the people of Arabia knew that incident so well, that they used to say 10 years before that year of the elephant, or 7 years after that, or 20 years after that. That is how they used to discuss incidents. So in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, now there was a need. So he made mashwara, he had a discussion with his companions. You are well aware of the discussion, which I have discussed many times in the past also, that people gave different opinions. Some said that we must commence the calendar with the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala did not accept that opinion. Yet it was the greatest event in the history of mankind, not only of the Arabs. The greatest incident, the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not come to this world, there would have been no world. The existence of this world, it is mentioned, لَوْلَاكَ لَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْأَفْلَاكَ. If it had not been for your creation, we would not have created the heavens and the earth and everything that you find in the heavens and the earth, in this world and in the akhirat. Everything Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala created, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was going to come to this world. What can I do but repeat whatever comes in my mind? Na masjid, na masjid ke unche minare, na qibla, na kaaba, na makkah, madina. Gar Muhammad na hote to kuch bhi na hota. Would mankind ever have found direction in life? Would we have known the road to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Would we have known the road to Jannat? Would we have led the life of human beings on earth? With all the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah, when we have distanced ourselves, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings, when we have distanced ourselves from it, then we can see what is the condition of man around the globe. If he is not behaving worse than animals, then what is it? Animals are not even mukallaf. They are not going to be questioned on the day of judgment. There was no book revealed to the king of the elephants, to the king of the animals. The lion in the jungle, did it receive any wahi? Did it receive any book from Allah Ta'ala for guidance? Human beings, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sent prophets amongst them. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was the last and the final messenger. And when his teachings were implemented, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave the sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum ajmain victory wherever they went. They were welcomed. Wherever they left, people used to cry. They used to say that, please, you must remain on our land. We did not know you were such kind of people. From the time that you have come, we find nothing but justice, honesty, truthfulness, compassion, mercy, kindness and love. This is what we find from the time that you have come onto our land. People were prepared to accept changes in their lives to such an extent that they not only changed their dressing, but they changed their language also. They changed everything. But when we distanced ourselves from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings, then we can see to what level we have reduced ourselves, whether it is Muslim land or non-Muslim land, whether it is Muslim country or non-Muslim country. There is nothing but just an enjoyment in killing, killing and killing. Nothing. Whether Shias are killing Sunnis, or Sunnis are killing Shias, or Muslims are killing non-Muslims, or non-Muslims are killing Muslims. I'm not talking about the few exceptions which we may term as proper jihad. I'm talking about the general situation. It's nothing but like a kind of enjoyment, like how the lion devours, tears up its prey. The tigers do that, the cheetahs do that. The human beings have become like tigers, cheetahs, lions, what else? So if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had not come into this world, we would not have found direction in life. There should have been nothing else except that which we are seeing now again. So how bad it must have been before he came to this world. Who gave human rights? Charter of human rights, who gave? Therefore I am saying, that if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had not sent Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there would have been nothing. Allah ta'ala chose Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for this great position of honor. So Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions, they made great sacrifices for the deen of Islam. Great sacrifices were made. So in this month of Muharram, we are reminded of the beginning of the calendar of Islam, that it began from the hijrah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The birth of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was a great event, but Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not accept that, for he knew, he had a foresight, that if it was going to commence with the birth of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then throughout the world you would have had nothing but just celebrations, just eating and drinking and festivity, and we would have thought that we have done justice to Islam. We would not have been reminded of those great sacrifices that they made. It would have just become a celebration. But this hijrah is a reminder of those sacrifices that were made by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, his companions, the Khulafa-i Rashideen, all of them who made sacrifices. There was hijrah. They had to leave Madina Tayyibah, the beloved city of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's birth. They had to leave Makkah Mukarramah, the beloved city of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's birth. They had to leave that. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, when he was leaving and making hijrah, he turns towards Makkah Sharif and he says, "Oh Makkah, I love you dearly. If my people had not taken me out, I would not have left you." You can see how much he had his love for Makkah Mukarramah. And why not? Because that is where the first house for the worship of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala was built by his great grandfather Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. If you carry on right up, you will find that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is in his progeny. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was desirous of staying in Makkah Mukarramah. It's not that he had planned his hijrah before time, that I'm going to leave Makkah Sharif and go away to Madina Sharif. The people had put him into such a difficult situation. And then too, he bore everything with patience. He didn't leave Makkah Sharif. He was stoned in Taif, but he didn't leave Makkah Sharif. He was persecuted, he was tortured. Intestines of animals were placed on the back of our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he went into Sajda in the Haram Sharif. That place where we complain all the time of little inconveniences, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is making sajda there and they're throwing intestines of animals on his back. 3 solid years he's boycotted and ostracized. But when he comes out from there, he still does not leave Makkah Sharif. Until Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's hukam came that now you must leave, because they had now planned to assassinate him. So everybody was going under tremendous amount of trials, tests and difficulties and hardships and torture. The torture of these prisons that we know of our time, Guantanamo and others, is nothing in comparison with that which the Sahabas underwent. They used to burn them alive, deprive them totally of all food and drink. Time is coming when they have to now chew leaves of trees for survival. And who? The one for whom Allah Ta'ala created the whole universe. You think Allah Ta'ala could not have sent Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam with big dastarkhans of food and drink from Jannat? But it was all a consolation for us who were going to come long after him, that if your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam could have undergone such kind of trials and tests and hardships, then O ye believers, what about you? A little bit of test and trial and you give up your deen altogether. A little bit of difficulty, a little bit of poverty comes and the person says, "Who is there ready to give me some hamper? I'm prepared to accept your deen." Just a little bit of test and some temptation, some pretty face comes forward. And the woman says that, "I'm not going to accept you unless you accept my religion, my faith." The person says, "Whatever happens, I am going to accept your faith." How many people have left Islam just because of some pretty face? And sometimes the other way around, that the person that is in love, he is saying that, "I am prepared to accept you as my wife. Only condition is that you must accept my faith." And she is prepared to do that. So we are being reminded that this calendar of the Muslims starts from Hijrah, that there's going to be a struggle, there's going to be a trial, a test in life. It's not going to be just smooth sailing, that we'll have to do nothing and we will go to Jannat and be the beloved of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. There has to be some kind of sacrifice that a person will have to make in his life. The getting up for Fajr Salat is a very small sacrifice in comparison with that which those people made. The giving up of haram in our life, is it a great sacrifice that we are making? We are not being tortured, we are not being persecuted, we are not being burnt, stones are not being thrown at us to give up haram. But we go headlong into haram, we are not prepared to give it up. There's no sacrificing spirit that we have left. So at least when this month of Muharram comes, then we remind ourselves that there was a hijrah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, where they had to leave behind their homes, their properties, their families, and they had to go away and settle in Madina Tayyibah. Of course, there was great hikmat and wisdom of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in that. As Mawlana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuh Mahmood Murshid says, that if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had kept Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Roza Mubarak in Makkatul Mukarrama, then the Haji's heart would have been torn into two pieces. If next to the Kaabatullah Sharif was also the Roza Mubarak of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what would the Haji have done? 1 minute the Kaabatullah Sharif is pulling, there's an attraction, there's noor, the tajalliyat that's coming right down from the arsh of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Direct connection of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's tajalli with the Kaabatullah Sharif. Now those anwarat and that tajalli and that is attracting the person towards the Kaaba Sharif's tawaf. Now he wants to make tawaf. He wants to get the enjoyment of tawaf. He is deeply in love with the Kaabatullah Sharif, with the Baytullah. The ishq of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is pulling him to make the tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif. And on the other side would have been the Roza Mubarak. The ishq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would have been pulling him in that direction. Then go and stand at the Roza Mubarak and say, As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya khayra khalqillah. Or stand there and read as much Durood Sharif as you want. And believe that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is responding. When you send it from anywhere else, the angels carry it and convey it. And now at the Roza Mubarak, he is replying himself. So that would have been pulling. The person wants to go and get drowned in the ishq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So it is the wisdom of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that Madina Sharif is some 300-400 kilometers away. So that the person who is in his Makkah Sharif, he gives his heart here. And when he's there in Madina Sharif, he gives his heart there. That is a different issue. But the fact is that there was a hijrah that was made. So we are reminded of that struggle, and that is what life is all about. It is a struggle. In the times of fitna that we are living, there's a struggle every minute of our lives. The moment we step out of the masjid, there is a struggle. Control of gaze is a struggle. Control of the tongue is a struggle. Control of the hearing is a struggle. The person is doing shopping in a supermarket. Now there, to keep his eyes on the purchase that he is making or the items that he is purchasing. And whilst the music is playing there sometimes, to be shopping in such a way that the person is not listening to the music, it's a struggle. It's not impossible, it's possible. But it's a struggle, especially for those youth who have been listening to all the different kinds of songs. Now when they are shopping in such a place, then suddenly you find that feet start tapping too. Involuntary movement. So there's a struggle to keep the ears protected from haram. To keep the gaze protected from haram. All many, many other things. So where are we going to really talk about jihad, which the Sahaba-e-Kiram radiallahu anhum ajma'in made? Or in our times, wherever the jihad is really taking place. If we can restrain ourselves from haram, it is the greatest jihad for us. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself said, Al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi, wal-muhajiru man hajara ma nahallahu an. Muslim is that person from whose tongue and hands the other Muslim is safe. And I repeat that not only Muslim, but in another hadith, even a non-Muslim, even the disbeliever, he's safe from the mischief of the Muslim's tongue and his hands. It does not mean only tongues and hands. Otherwise, a person will boot somebody, kick somebody, and they say, but in the Hadith Sharif, it wasn't mentioned about kicking. Our understanding sometimes is very limited. He'll say, in the Hadith Sharif, only hand and tongue was mentioned, therefore I kicked him. We have to understand the Hadith Sharif also correctly. One person, his father, before he died, he made wasiyat to him. He said, after I die, then people will come. So you must make them sit in a high place. You must feed them the best. And you must speak very sweetly to them. Then his father passed away. But this son was a number one buddhu. Stupid number one. So now when the visitors came, So he piled mattresses upon mattresses. And as soon as the guest came, because he was a heavyweight too, he picked the guest up and put him on top there. So now the guest said, "What's happening here? Such a high place you put me on." So now my father said, "Let's put you on a high place." And after that, whenever the guest is saying or speaking, asking him something, then in response and in reply, he only says honey, sweet, sugar. So now he's even more surprised. I'm asking him a question, then he says sugar, sometimes he says honey, sometimes he says sharbat. And afterwards, when the time came to eat, then when the person was eating, the meat was such that it was not well cooked, or it was tasting raw. So then he complained to this person. He says that, "What is all this nonsense?" He says, "No, my father said must put the guests on a high place, so I put them on a high place. My father said they must speak in sweet words. So what other words can be sweeter than honey and sugar? And he said must feed the best, so I had a German dog, the best, that was the most expensive thing I had. So I slaughtered that for all of you." Whereas what the father meant was must make them sit with dignity, must speak gently and politely to them, and must feed them whatever best you have. This may be by way of example, it is just by way of example, but it gives us a lesson that many a times we misunderstand a hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Like in this hadith sharif, he says, "Min lisanihi wa yadi," from the hand and the tongue. So now that does not mean that you can harm the person in any other way. So that is one aspect that we discuss. Of course, we can go into detail after that, what the Muslim calendar is all about and how it started and what the details, but we're not going into that. The second part is generally the day of Ashura. That the day of Ashura is a significant day, not from now, not from the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, right from the time that the heaven and earth was created, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had chosen this day. Fasting was made farz and compulsory on the day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram. Muharram itself was a sacred month. Even the kuffar used to respect it. The calendar that we use begins with January. My Hazrat says, "In logo ka calendar jo hai, wo January se shuru hota hai. January. See, that's why they behave like janwars. And our calendar begins with Muharram, dignified." So the fasting was farz. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when Ramadan fasting became farz upon him, then it became sunnat. If a person keeps it, alhamdulillah. If he doesn't keep it, then those who keep the fast, then they must not adopt a holier than thou attitude and make the person feel ashamed that he didn't keep a fast. Something that Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam does not make compulsory, then we can encourage others. But we can't look down upon anybody that does not practice on it. This is a very important thing which we have forgotten. Many people, they will have that holier than thou attitude. Sometimes a guest has come and is not fasting, and we are fasting on the 10th of Muharram. So now it doesn't mean that you mustn't offer anything to that guest because it's 10th of Muharram. So you tell the guest, "Bhai, you came today, but you know it's 10th of Muharram. You should have kept a fast. Why didn't you keep a fast? So therefore, no tea for you, no cold drink for you, nothing." If the person keeps it, he'll get the rewards. Forgiveness of sins of the past year, the minor sins that the person commits. But because the Jews used to also fast on the 10th of Muharram, and they said that it was Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam who was given salvation on this Mubarak day, therefore they are fasting. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Khaliful Yahud." Go against what the Yahudis are doing. Keep a fast one day before, keep a fast one day after, but go against what they are doing. Now even in Ibadat, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that don't do exactly as they were doing. He didn't say, "Now you mustn't fast," because there was nothing wrong with the fast. But you can see he made a little bit of change there so that it doesn't become exactly like the fast of the Jews. What a clear message in there. That in Ibadat, if he was not prepared to accept that, then how can we then accept the customary practices of the disbelievers? The customary practices. If they are busting crackers, then we will be one step ahead of them. Our children will be one step ahead of them. And if we won't light ourselves, then at least we will enjoy the display on those festive occasions of this. Christmas will come, then we will also celebrate in some way or the other, just as they celebrate. Every occasion that is regarded in their faith and religion as an auspicious occasion, then because of our living together, an interaction as we call it, an integration, it brings about a disintegration of our iman. Because many a times we go to that extent that we actually enjoy their ibadat. We actually enjoy it. It's not a question of disliking, it's a question of enjoying it after that. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, do go against that. Keep the fast, but go against that. Many other things have been mentioned which are historical. But the muhaddiseen, those who look for chain of narrators, and then they connect with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then it does not meet their standards, so therefore they don't accept it, but it is mentioned. Of all the other incidents, Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam going into the stomach of the whale and then given salvation, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam going into the fire and Allah Ta'ala ordering the fire, Kulna ya narukuni bardam wa salaman ala Ibrahim. And so many other incidents, there's a whole list of it, you have seen it in the pamphlets and you have heard of it many a times. Now those they have said are not authentic because they cannot find that chain of narrators as reliable and authentic as they would like. There's a great weakness and deficiency. Many fabricated hadiths have crept into the kitabs. Somebody saw it in one pamphlet, so he reprinted that pamphlet, the next person added another two, and he reprinted, another person added another one and reprinted, like that it carried on. So in the kitabs also, many of these things have crept in which have got no basis. If a person passes his hand over the head of a yatim or oils his head on the 10th of Muharram, then he'll never fall sick again. So try it tomorrow, oil your head tomorrow and then see if you fall sick or don't fall sick. Everybody tomorrow, make sure you oil your head and then see if the rest of your life you stay fit and healthy. So these were fabricated hadiths. Like Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Ma'u Zamzam, that regarding the water of Zamzam, with whatever niyat you drink it, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will fulfill that niyat. And it is proven, if ours is not having effect, then it means that there is a weakness of our iman, or Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is testing and he wants to give something better in return. So the person is drinking and drinking, but his sickness is not getting cured, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is giving him some other rewards. But that effect is there in Zamzam because millions of people have experienced it. So another person fabricated one hadith. That al-Bazinjan. Bazinjan is brinjal. Dima okila. For whatever purpose you eat brinjal, your niyat will be fulfilled. So now, probably he was a fruit seller or a vegetable seller. And he wanted the sales to increase. Now people start flocking and buying brinjal. Now brinjal, which the Hakims also say is not a very healthy vegetable. But now they fabricated hadiths like that. So now these things have also crept into the kitab, so we must not accept them unless the muhaddiseen tell us that it is authentic. But something on which, because there's a collaboration of many other hadiths that has been mentioned and they accept it in majority of the cases, is that the person who extends his provision for the family on the day of Ashura, on the 10th of Muharram, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will extend the provision for him for the rest of the year. That is the mafhum of that hadith sharif. That the person who adds on one or two things on his dastarkhan for his children on the day of Ashura, for his family, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will increase his provision, will give him barakat in his provision. So I state always that if that is the case with regards to one's own family, then how much more barakat and Allah Ta'ala will give in the provision of a person who extends that for the poor, for the needy, for the destitute. The person who is filling his stomach every day and is adding one more or two more items to the menu and he is getting those blessings, then imagine if we have to give a little bit to those people around us, near us, even a little. It doesn't mean now you have to look for every poor person in the world and go and distribute, but everyone knows somebody in the neighborhood, some maid working, some poor person, in the locality, search for them, you'll find plenty of them. Somebody hasn't got light for many months because he couldn't pay his bill. Somebody hasn't even had a full stomach meal for many, many days. So if he's going to take care of such kind of poor widows, orphans, destitute, then imagine how much more sawab the person will get, how much more provision Allah Ta'ala will give. But at the same time, as I mentioned in my Friday bayan, I said that we have to understand one thing very clearly, that who was the first audience of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? The first audience, who was he addressing? Was he addressing people like us, or was he addressing the companions? When he mentioned about this extending of provisions and dastarkhan, was he talking to people like us, some of us who make one namaz a week, some make two a day, some make three a day, some make once a year, some make once on a week, saath ki, khat ki, 360 ki, some make once in 7 days, the Jummah namaz, some make one in 365 days, the Eid namaz, and some make janaza salat. So he was not addressing such a kind of congregation that cannot even get up for Fajr salat and fill the masajid. Now the person on 10th of Muharram, Ashura day, he says, must extend the dastarkhan. Instead of having 3-course meal, we're going to have a 7-course, 9-course meal. Why? Because barkat will come, barkat. Now you think that kind of barkat will ever come? If the person is missing his Fajr Salat, his Zuhar Asr Maghrib Salat, he's engaging in haram, he's going to the discos, he's going to the cinema and theatres, he's going to the casinos and he's gambling away, and he's always trying his luck on the lotto, whereas the lotto is in actual fact luto. Lotto is actually luto. Because the person thinks it's only a few rands, but how many tickets he buys, finally he gets completely poverty stricken. In every word also there is something. Devil, look at it, there's evil in it. Devil, there is evil in it. So what I am saying is that the dastarkhan extending, it is definitely there. But just that is not sufficient. We have to always look at the package. In Islam, it's not just isolated things that we do. Something we take which we like, and something that we all like is eating and drinking. So if somebody asks which is the best Hadith Sharif with regards to Ashura, they say the one in which he mentions about eating and drinking, to extend the dastarkhan. That's a very nice Hadith Sharif, and I really make amal on that. Maulana, every year, that Hadith Sharif I must make amal on. So what about the istighfar and tawbah hadiths? Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam said Allah Ta'ala forgave a nation on this 10th of Muharram. And he will do that again, which means that engage yourself in tawbah and istighfar. Tomorrow, the 10th of Ashura, should actually be a day free of sins. Completely free. Our whole life should be like that. But at least the 10th of Muharram, such a significant day, which we are going to observe, inshallah. So then it should be completely free of sins. Completely free. Accidental sins can still happen. We don't say it can't. But the Muslim makes up his mind that I'm not going to commit any sin, and it will be a starting point in my life. Because it is not a Hadith Sharif. But certain things are experiences of people, of the Awliya-i Kiram, and they tell us their experiences. So we must limit it to that, that it is an experience. What is not in the Hadith Sharif, we must not say it is Sunnah or it is Hadith Sharif. But it is an experience, so we must accept it. Lots of things are by experience. In medication, we don't ask the Hakim Saab and the Doctor Saab that please first give me some Hadith Sharif that I must drink this medication 3 times a day. All the medication that they give to us for our heart and liver and lungs and everything else, then must tell the doctor first, go and bring one Hadith Sharif and show it to me, then I'll take it. So he'll never find one till Qiyamah day, so the patient will be a candidate for Brook Street Cemetery. So you don't have to show everything in the Hadith Sharif, but the doctor will tell you that it is my experience that whosoever takes this medication 3 times a day, I found them to recover. So now it is his experience. So now we won't say that, oh, that is bidat now. How can you give us something that's not in the Hadith Sharif? You'll be surprised. I get so much letters even now with all the explosion of education. the internet and everything, newspapers, magazines and English books and everything, we are getting now so much of Islamic education, but people are still in confusion. So experience of the people, the awliya-e-kiram, is this, that if a person makes up his mind and is sincere about it, is determined, on the 10th of Muharram, if he starts some good deed, he brings about a change in his life for the better, something that he was addicted to, but he made up his mind that today, this 10th of Muharram, that is the day that I'm going to bring about a total change in my life. It is the day in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala accepts du'as, He gave salvation to so many people, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's doors of maghfirat and forgiveness are open, just as we have Laylatul Qadr, Laylatul Bara', then in the days we have the Eidul Adha, Eidul Fitr, and we have this Yawmi Ashura. So now the person says, I was addicted to drugs, but this Muharram 10th, that's the end of it. I'm not going to touch it anymore. Inshallah, if he is sincere, then he will get the tawfiq to continue the next day and the following day, until of course he himself goes back to the same old company of his, or the person is tempted and he cannot resist the temptation and he takes it. But if he makes up his mind and then he follows up with it, because whenever a person is making sincere tawbah, then this is what it means, that now he's going to go in that direction. He's not going to return. He's not going to put the car in reverse now. He's going to go ahead. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also keeps on making him progress. And he will find a total change. Wallah, believe me, there are so many people I can tell you with the number of letters that I have received, because over the past years I have been speaking on these issues. And there are so many people who gave up on the 10th of Muharram some bad habit and they never returned to it. They were sincere in their tawbah. They really cried and teared before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and asked Allah ta'ala for courage and himmat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave it to them. So that is what we should be doing tomorrow. But find a little bit of time. Let it not be that same rat race that we have been in the whole life of ours. We have been always finding time for so many other things. For how many things we have been finding time? So is it any kind of farz or wajib that tomorrow also the shops must be open from 7 o'clock to 7 o'clock? Is it written anywhere? Those who are bosses, those who have their own businesses, if you cut down 1 hour tomorrow, will it make some very great difference in the earning? I can take a billion qasams in the masjid and tell you that you will get the same amount in your business as you would have got if you remained open. If you close 1 hour, 2 hours earlier and go to the masjid, be there little earlier for Zuhr, little earlier for Asr, or even if we don't go very early, Asr is now 5 o'clock, 5:30, the person goes away, spends from Asr to Maghrib at least in the masjid, and cries before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and asks for forgiveness and makes a pledge that, Ya Allah, I don't want to return to that addiction of mine. That Hollywood and Bollywood is which is making me go mad. Lots of people have gone mad already. And those porn films and porn sites which have created restlessness in my heart. I don't know whether I'm coming or going. Scientifically also now, in the medical science also is proving. Lots of people who are entering the asylums, why are they entering it? Many, many of those who are committing suicides, why are they committing? Once again I repeat that if a person commits suicide, we must not be judgmental. We don't know in what state of mind the person was that he snapped. We must give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm talking about ourselves. That youngsters, and not youngsters, I know of many old people, unfortunately their children are complaining. Elderly people, middle-aged people, men, women, they stay up till late night. Because they want to watch the filthy movies late night when the children are gone to sleep. Now in the first place, the person has worked the whole day. He is tired, he is exhausted. Now he has come home after a little bit of meal and is back on the television screen. Now he is waiting. After some time, now they are putting the children to sleep. And then 11, 12, 1 o'clock, now they are watching those filthy movies. And lots of young children are watching. Now what is going to happen? The person hasn't had a rest for the whole day, he's exhausted, and now in that waiting for those filthy movies, there's more exhaustion, and when he's going to watch those movies, it's going to create restlessness in the heart. Restlessness. Ask any person who is addicted to it, because I'm responding to letters every day of my life, and coming from different parts of the world. With Allah Ta'ala's fazal, many, many have given up after the correspondence. But they mention the same thing, that restlessness, restlessness. So now till 2 o'clock in the morning, now it has created that restlessness. Then they will engage or indulge in some kind of other filthy activity. Now they will have to take a bath, and then they will have to go and sleep. At what time are they going to get up? So the brain cells, they are destroying. They are going off their heads. They are reaching the stage of insanity. And many people are then taking their lives. And many are on the verge of ending up in asylums. Make shukr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that He gave us these type of days and these type of nights to make tawbah and istighfar. There are many other things, but the third part of it is the shahadat of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala. I was going to read to you some poetry and some ashar, but I'll put it back into my pocket once we start it. But any case, so the shahadat of Hazrat Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala, indeed a very tragic incident. The grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam martyred at Karbala. I mean, who can ever accept such a kind of a situation? And it happened on the 10th of Muharram. So we will say that it was a significant occasion. It was the 10th of Muharram, and it was the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was martyred on this occasion. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala multiplied his rewards. That is what we will say. Therefore, one Allah wala, he says, aap kehte hai, hai Hussain, hai Hussain. The Shias, they beat up their chests and they stab themselves and they mourn. Whereas that is not Islam, that is not Sharia, that is not Quran, that is not Sunnah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's uncle Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu was martyred in the battle of Uhud. He dearly loved his uncle. His uncle was of great assistance to him. And he was martyred. And after being martyred, his nose was chopped off. His tongue was cut. His heart, his chest was sliced, and his heart and liver and lungs were removed. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saw that body of his uncle, that Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, who was a rock of patience, But the Sahaba say, we saw Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's eyes, tears pouring. And he said, if it had not been for my aunt Safiya, sister of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu, he said, then I would have just left the body like that. So that the birds, creatures, animals, insects, they all eat it up. On the day of Qiyamah, he will rise. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will say that this is my uncle, who was martyred in this manner. So did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam make matam of his? Was there any kind of taziyah that was taken out for Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam called Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an Sayyidu Shuhada. He was Sayyidu Shuhada. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whole family, there's nothing but shahadat there. But we don't find that kind of mourning. Yes, what we are told is read, send sawab to them. Ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to increase their stages, elevate their stages even more. And with the barakat of their good deeds, you ask Allah ta'ala to fulfill your needs. That is acceptable. But what is done in the name of Imam Hussain, and what will happen now, tomorrow, it makes the world think of Islam as a religion in which there is nothing but just beating of chests and mourning and crying and stabbing oneself and injuring oneself with the chains and what they do. Now, is that Islam? But what I was saying earlier, that many of us, we will go to see the fun or the show. That is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was saying, Khaliful Yahud. But we, many of us, in our town, in our city, in our areas also, if there are taziyas coming out, then we want to go and follow it, or we will go and admire whatever is happening, which has got nothing to do with Sharia. Not only I'm talking about some Deobandi or Barelvi or anything like that. All mazhabs, nobody accepts such a kind of situation. It is not something on which there is a difference of opinion. Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Ali writes the same. So this is what created a lot of division in the Ummah. And this was all from Abdullah bin Sabah, who was a Yahudi. He came to Medina Sharif and he pretended to accept Islam in the time of Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala. He pretended to accept Islam because he was burning in his heart looking at the progress of the Muslims. And this is something which is common in these days, jealousy. It is eating up, burning up the hearts of people. Even the progress in deen, a person can't accept. So now here the progress of the Muslims, the person couldn't accept. So he came, he said, now there's no way of defeating the Muslims, so we have to pretend that we are Muslims and be hypocrites, as we talk about guerrilla warfare. So now these hypocrites, this is what they did. So he came and first of all he started talking about the virtues and the greatness of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. He started talking about the greatness of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. After talking about Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, slowly he raised him to the status of being a Mahdi. And then finally, after all the lengthy discussions that he had with different people, and when he started getting them on his side, then he said, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala himself has come into Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and he created a stage of divinity for Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Now you get followers for everything. Even if shaitan has to make some announcement, you will get followers of shaitan also. So here also the people in the villages here and there, they said, well, this is something that he is talking about and there must be great goodness in it, so they accepted it. Now that is how he created a division, and then its whole history after that. The martyrdom of Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, if Allah ta'ala gives life and opportunity, someday we discuss the martyrdom of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala on the 1st of Muharram, Fajr Salat. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala goes on the Musalla. Abu Lulu Firoz was his name. That's why they say don't keep anybody's name Firoz. So Abu Lulu, a Majusi, he came there and he stabbed Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And whilst trying to run away, he martyred 7 sahabas. And then he stabbed himself and died, because he knew that now he's going to get caught. So he committed suicide. But the fact is, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, on the 1st of Muharram, he was martyred. Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, his house is surrounded by the rebels. They have stopped all food and anything else entering into that home. He who purchased that well, Bir Ruma, those days we could see the well, now they've closed it up, but there was water also inside there. There was a Yahudi who was not allowing the Muslims to drink from there, or he was charging them exorbitant prices. Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala purchased that well and he made it work for the Ummah. But for 40 days water is not being allowed. From the rooftop, from here and there, his wife is pleading, allow some water to come through. So they asked Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala that when your thirst used to become unbearable, then how you used to quench your thirst before he passed away? He said, for 40 days it's not an easy thing. He said, when my thirst used to become unbearable, I used to open the Quran Sharif. As I was reading the verses of the Quran Sharif, it was as if water was going down my throat and Allah Ta'ala was quenching my thirst. It's a long story, but after that finally they entered the home, they attacked him, they stabbed him. Who the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one whom Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave the titles in Nurain, Zum Nurain, the owner of two lights, because first she was married to Hazrat Ruqayya, and after the passing away of Hazrat Ruqayya, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam married his daughter Umm Kulsum to Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala. And this is the treatment that he was being given by these insurgents or rebels. And whilst reading the Quran Sharif again, when he was on the ayat, فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهِ, all historians and kitabs, you will find that that is when his shahada took place. And the blood that was flowing, it came and fell exactly on that ayat, فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهِ, Allah is sufficient for you. Allah suffices. Now that was an ayat of the Quran Sharif revealed to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, but he was reading and exactly on that ayat, that you don't have to worry, inshallah. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ, Allah Ta'ala is all-hearing, all-knowing. He knows exactly what these people have done. And it is reported that all those who were engaged in hurting Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala, some went mad, some ways their whole bodies became so diseased that nothing but pus and matter and everything was flowing from their bodies. People just dumped them outside. They were not even interested in them. Sooner or later, they all met up with their doom also. Troubling a wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is no ordinary issue. And here it is a khalifa of Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. And those animals, they didn't, even after he passed away, they wouldn't allow his body to be taken away. 2 days the body was still there. And then in the Qabristan also, they didn't allow burial there. They said, no, right in the corner must take you. Therefore, Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu's grave, you get right in the corner there. But they don't know that his burial there brought such light into the Qabristan, Jannatul Baqi there, or Baqi. So Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu martyred. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu martyred. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu martyred. So that Abdullah bin Sabah, that Yahudi, started off that friction, and see how far that went. That led to the Jang-e Siffin and Jang-e Jamal. The first battle, 40,000 Muslims lost their lives. And in the next battle, in 30 hours, 70,000 Muslims lost their lives. This is what the munafiqs do. That is why I've been discussing in my Monday night majlis and whole of Ramadan, we were discussing hypocrisy, the currency of the time. Hypocrisy is a currency of the time. You can't trust anyone. So shahadat is something that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself desired. لَوَدِدْتُ أَنْ أُقْتَلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ أُحْيَا ثُمَّ أُقْتَلْ ثُمَّ أُحْيَا ثُمَّ أُقْتَلْ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam desired shahadat. So many in his family shaheed. 70 sahaba shaheed in the battle of Uhud. So many shaheed in Karbala. So many shaheed in other places. So he says, log kehte hai ke hai Hussein, hai Hussein. Main kehta hoon ke wah Hussein, wah Hussein. That even in the plains of Karbala, you didn't forgo or miss one salat. In the plain of Karbala when he's being attacked, when he knows that his life now any time, but for those 10 days, not one salat of his is missed. That is the lesson that we must take from the Shaheed of Karbala. He is reading Quran Sharif there. He is still concerned about the parda of his family members that are with him. And sabr, he is a rock of sabr and patience. And he says, whatever happens, but he's not going to accept anything that is against the Quran and Sunnah. And he did not believe that Yazid was the rightful person for the Khilafat. Therefore he was opposing it. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to take lessons. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala light up our hearts with the love of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May He give us the himmat and the courage to throw out of our lives all those things that are displeasing to Allah and His Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Read Durood Sharif and now read Dua. If you are tired, it's 1 hour that we have been speaking now. If you are tired, stand up before we make dua, because dua will take about 10 minutes. So you can stand up and then sit down so that your knees can be straightened. Stand up, there's nothing, no harm, no sin. There will be no fines of any kind. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم يا رحيم يا كريم يا ستار الغيوب غفار الذنوب الله oh my beloved Allah my رحيم Allah my كريم Allah most forgiving Allah most compassionate Allah most loving Allah oh my most caring Allah most tolerant Allah most generous Allah most kind Allah oh my most beautiful Allah hamare gunahon ko maaf farma forgive each and every one of us forgive each and every one of us my beloved Allah we are acknowledging every sin of ours we are not justifying any of our sins from the time we became of age up till now how much of disobedience we have engaged in. We have used your bounties for your disobedience. Day and night we use your bounties for your disobedience. Oh my beloved Allah, who is there to forgive us besides you? You have given us 10th of Muharram, the night of Qadr, the whole month of Ramadan, and so many other occasions to turn towards you. And you have promised forgiveness, my beloved Allah. If it had not been your desire to forgive, you would not have given us these occasions. You dearly love forgiveness. Your beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed us. Something that is most beloved to you is the forgiveness of the sins of the sinners when they turn towards you with repentance. Ya Allah, we are not justifying any of our sins. Ya Allah, forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. In the light of day or darkness of nights. There was no question of darkness for you. Ya Allah, when we thought that no one was watching us, we were only fooling ourselves. For you are the one who has blessed billions of people with sight. How can you be blind to our actions and our deeds? It's just your tolerance that you did not seize us there and then. You could have brought embarrassment, shame, disgrace and humiliation upon us when we were indulging in taking drugs. Or when we were indulging in adultery or fornication, or when we were in discos or cinemas or theatres or gambling dens or rave clubs, or in any other kind of vice, Ya Allah, you could have destroyed us there and then. You could have paralyzed us there and then. You could have caught the earth to open up and swallow each and every one of us. But how tolerant you are, my beloved Allah. How beautiful you are, my Allah. How caring you are, my Allah. How forgiving you are, my beloved Allah. Ya Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Ya forgive our major sins and minor sins. Ya Allah, forgive the sins of our eyes, sins of our ears, sins of our tongue, sins of our heart and mind, sins of our hands and feet. My beloved Allah, don't allow any kind of embarrassment, shame, disgrace and humiliation to come upon us. Ya Allah, protect us and protect the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Give us the himmat and courage of lions against our nafs, my Allah. Ya Allah, make us distance ourselves from all that is displeasing to you. Give us the himmat and courage to throw out of our homes and our lives everything that is bringing such kind of restlessness and misery in our lives, bringing such kind of destruction in the morals of our children, our wives, our family members and ourselves. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to distance ourselves from everything that is displeasing to you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to do everything that is pleasing to you. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with your love and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, change the direction of our lives. Change the direction of our lives. Take us on the road that leads to Jannat. Take us on the road that leads to you. Take us on the road that leads to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, they made hijrat for the sake of deen. Ya Allah, for your pleasure they made hijrat. They left behind everything in Makkatul Mukarramah. Ya Allah, they were prepared to give their lives for your cause. Sayyidina Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu an, Sayyidina Usman radiyallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala, 70 sahabas in Uhud. Ya Allah, so many other places, thousands of shuhada. Ya Allah, they have given their lives for the sake of your deen. We cannot even give up sins for your pleasure. Ya Allah, change the direction of our lives. Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de. Mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Badal de dil ki dunya dil badal de. Badal de dil ki dunya dil badal de. Khudaya fazl farma dil badal de. My Allah, my beloved Allah. Our lives in your control. Our sight, our hearing, our speech in your control. The ground on which we walk in your control. The homes in which we live in your control. Ya Allah, we have seen so many people, young, fit, healthy, suddenly depart from this world. My beloved Allah, kai baar humne ye dekha ke jinka mushayyan badan tha muattar kafan tha jo qabre kohan uski ukhdi to dekha to uzwe badan tha natare kafan tha. How many times we have seen that young, fit, healthy people with everything going for them. Ya Allah, flashy cars, cell phones, plenty of wealth, everything. But Ya Allah, when the angel of death suddenly took away their life and they were given kafan on which ether was poured, when they were put into the graves, after some time when we opened the graves, no sign of even a thread of the kafan or any bone. My beloved Allah, ek din hame bhi marna hai, akhir maut hai, we have to die, we have to leave this world. Ya Allah, so many accidents are taking place. So many people are shot and killed and they are passing away. They may be coming shaheed, my Allah. But for us, there's great lessons. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to stay away from any place that is displeasing to you. Ya Allah, give us the himmat and courage to perform our salat 5 times a day. To fast in Ramadan. To give zakat if due. To go for hajj if farz. To fulfill the rights of our parents, our wives and children, our brothers and sisters, our family members. Our neighbors, the Muslims and the non-Muslims. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to do everything pleasing to you. Bless us all with good health, my Allah. We are sick and ailing, my beloved Allah. We are spiritually sick and we are physically ill. Cure us of all our ailments, sicknesses and diseases. Ya Allah, whosoever is sick and ailing, whether they are in hospitals, in clinics, in homes or amongst us, bless them with complete shifa from all sicknesses and ailments. We know that sometimes sicknesses and diseases can be a rahmat and a mercy in disguise. But we are extremely weak servants of yours. Ya Allah, we cannot bear the mercy of sickness and disease. Change it to the mercy of good health. Ya Allah, those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. So many have met up with accidents, so many are undergoing operations. Ya Allah, bless them all with shifa. Those who are in poverty, Ya Allah, bless them with wealth. Those who are in debts, bless them with plentiful of halal risk and remove their financial difficulties. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are on journeys, make them reach their destination safely. Those who are in depression, give them joy and happiness. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with tranquility. Fill our hearts, my beloved Allah, with serenity, with joy and with happiness. Ya Allah, remove our suffering, our difficulties and problems. Remove the difficulties and problems of mankind around the globe. So many places, there's droughts, famine, AIDS, and so many other kinds of problems. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties and problems of mankind. Bless everyone with hidayat and with guidance. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially in Chechnya, Bosnia, Afghanistan, Palestine, Iraq, Kashmir, the different continents, my beloved Allah, Somalia, Sudan, which part of the world the ummah is not suffering. Ay Allah, the enemies have ganged up against the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They have made up their minds they will continue with the oppression and tyranny and suppression and the bulldozing and the bombarding of their homes and the destruction of their life and property. Ya Allah, bless them with hidayat, bless them with iman and Islam. But if they have become obstinate and made up their minds they are not going to stop, then Ya Allah, destroy them like you destroyed the Aad and the Samud. Cause the planes to crash, cause the ships to sink, create division amongst their ranks. Allah, create severe problems for them in their lives. make their lives restless as they have made the lives of the Muslim Ummah restless. اے میرے اللہ ہم سب کو اپنا بنا لے ہمارا بن جا. کوئی مجھ سے پوچھے میں کیا مانگتا ہوں, میں اپنے خدا سے خدا مانگتا ہوں, وہ ہو جائے میرا میں ہو جاؤں اس کا, یہی رات دن میں دعا مانگتا ہوں. Oh my beloved Allah, when the time of our death comes, don't let the angel of death find us in a disco, cinema, theater, gambling den, adultery, fornication, or watching some filthy movie or filthy magazine in our hands. Ya Allah, what a kind of embarrassment that will be for the family and for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't know when the angel of death is going to strike and where he is going to strike. Ya Allah, when the time of our death and departure comes, take us to Madina Tayyiba, at the Rawza Mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With as-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Habiballah. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا خير خلق الله. Oh my Allah, let our souls depart. Bless us with burial in Baqi. If it is not destined there, wherever it may be, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. Oh my beloved Allah, Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ummat is pareshan. Ya Allah, give them barakat in their businesses, barakat in their lives, barakat in the time, barakat in the health, barakat in every ni'mat. Ya Allah, protect our iman, protect our Islam, protect our homes, our properties, our life, our children. Protect the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made du'as for us. How much he begged for us, how much he asked for us. Ya Allah, bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless our wives and children with that goodness, our parents with that goodness, the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas, especially that of the Dajjal, that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my beloved Allah, you are well aware of the good wishes, the good desires, the good aspirations that are in the hearts of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. Oh my beloved Allah, you are well aware. Fulfill their good wishes, good desires and good aspirations. Unki nek tamannaon ko pura kar de. Ya Allah, even if you fulfill the wishes of the entire mankind, there will be no reduction in the ni'mats and bounties that you possess. Oh my beloved Allah, and you are well aware of the hardships, the difficulty, the sicknesses, the weakness. Oh my beloved Allah, the tests and the trials that each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you is undergoing. Ya Allah, remove their difficulties, their hardships, their pain, their suffering, their problem, their tests and their trials. Ya Allah, hum sab ko apna bana de hamara ban ja. Koi tujhse kuch, koi kuch mangta hai, ilahi mein tujhse talabgar tera. Huzur Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam ke sadqe tufail mein hamari duaon ko qubool farma. Those who have passed away, fill their graves with noor, increase their darajat and stages in the akhirat. Oh my beloved Allah, and bless their families and kith and kin with sabr jameel, ajr azim. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim, wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله